Good morning, ladies. I'm back with another encouraging word, and it stems from my morning's devotion today. And I was in the book of Acts, and I was also in the book of Ephesians. And as I was reading, I was literally reminded of like what's been going on around me, you know, on social media and all of the things. So, you know, by career, by profession, I have my own virtual assistant agency. And some of the work that I do requires me to like lead generate for my clients. And so, you know, I was in these Facebook groups because with one of my clients, I lead gen through Facebook groups. And I was in this entrepreneurship Facebook group for women. And I was going through like the different posts, you know, going through, reading them, all the things. And I was just getting, my spirit man was just getting so disturbed because, you know, I saw all of these women and they were offering these services concerning like all of these new age practices, how they could do hypnosis on people in exchange for this, how they could do Reiki or whatever that's called in exchange for this, how they help women heal and all of these different things. But it was from a new age way, from a worldly way, from an ungodly way. And as I was going through these posts, I kept getting like, I just kept feeling uneasy. And it was like a holy anger began to arise because of this scripture here that's in Acts 28. And it says, go to this people and say, and here Paul is talking to the Jews, right? He's talking to the Jews because he's in Rome and they've sent him to Rome to plead his case to Caesar. So if you know, the Jews have accused him of all the things. So he's now been in prison and he has to go plead his case. And he's in Rome now and he's receiving like all of this favor, and he calls the Jews to come and hear what he has to say while he's there. And so he begins to talk to them about, it says that some of them, you know, believed what he was preaching and others didn't, especially after he said this point. And this is when he began to speak of how the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah the prophet was telling the people to go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. That was so powerful to me because I was like, man, you know, even when the church grows louder, and even when we step into the boldness we have in Christ, the authority that we have in Christ, there's going to be people who will not receive what we have to say. There's going to be people who disagree with what we have to say. There's going to be people who are like Isaiah the prophet prophesies. He said, they're going to be ever hearing. That means they're going to continually hear this gospel message. They're going to continually hear the word of God, but they will never understand it. They will continue to see, they will see people in the church prospering. It's not going to be people using the excuse of, man, why would I want to be like the church? Because everybody in the church broke, everybody in the church poor. It won't be like that always. That will no longer be an excuse. And so people are going to be ever seeing the church show fruit, ever seeing the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the people of God who about their life. I'm not talking about any compromised Christians who telling you, you can do this and do this. I'm not telling you about the ones who say, I love Jesus and I curse a lot. I'm not talking about the ones who say, oh, I can listen to this artist, a Christian artist, and I can listen to this rapper who blasphemes God. I'm not talking about those type of people who say they believe. I'm talking about the remnant, the ones who are clearly set apart and they will not be questioned. Their lifestyle, their walk, their fruit is uncompromising, okay? And so it says they're going to ever be seeing the fruit that's produced in your life. They're going to ever be seeing the glory on your life. They're going to see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that you're called to. They're going to see these things continually. They're going to see them, but they're never going to truly understand. They're not going to be able to perceive it. It says, because the people's heart has become callous. Their heart has become hardened. Their heart, they have like this whole defense wall, this whole barrier that they've put up around their heart where they just won't be able to. It's called spiritual blindness. It's called, you know, hardness of heart, all of these different things. And so they won't be able to hear with their ears. They won't be able to see with their eyes the things that are right in front of them, the things that literally for us, it's like, how does this not make sense to you? How come you can't see this? I was having a debate with my family member, because I'm the only one who's going to stand my ground to this person. Everyone else, they'll shrink back. They'll be like, this is too much. This is overwhelming. I ain't finna go here, because this person is going to plead their case no matter what. They don't care what you say. They'll agree with you to disagree with you, or they'll just be like, oh, I see what you're saying, but this the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just believe all things almost. And so I was having this debate, and this is what it felt like. I'm like, well, how can you just not see this? Like, I was trying to make it personal, and it was just not happening. But I refused to back down or not state my case, because this person will never be able to say, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, I'll say this. A lot of people, I hear so many testimonies, y'all, where people come to church and they give their life to Christ. And they testify, and the testimony is this. I was in the world. I was doing this, and nobody invited me to church. I was in the world. I was doing this, and nobody ever came to evangelize to me. Nobody ever told me about this. I hear this testimony way too many times. It's quite simply ridiculous, especially with all of the social media preachers on the internet. Especially with all of the access to Google and the knowledge that we have access to, people are almost to this point without excuse, you know, unless you live in a 1040 window. And so I was talking to this person, and I'm just like, this person will never be able to say, I didn't know, right? Because the Bible, I'm very clear on that part of the Bible where it says, if you see somebody going down the wrong path, and you don't say anything, their blood is on your hands. You understand what I'm saying? Their blood is on your hand, because you saw them going in the wrong direction and you shrunk back for the sake of, I don't want to be uncomfortable. Debating and being confrontational makes me uncomfortable. So I'll sit there and watch my family members go down the wrong path. I'll watch them do activities and participate in sin that leads to hell for the sake of my own comfort. Not on my watch, okay? No one would be able to say, oh, my sister never did this. Oh, my cousin never did this. Oh, my daughter never did this. Oh, my auntie never did this. They will never be able to say that, because I'm very clear on that scripture. And so I was going through this, and I was looking at Acts 28. It's actually Acts 28 verses 26 through 27, where Isaiah the prophet is saying this prophetic word, and it made more sense to me. But it's also so frustrating, because I'm in this Facebook group, and this is all I see. People are promoting all of these ungodly new age practices of how they can heal people and all of the things. And I'm like, where have we come to in the society where this has been okay, where this has become the new norm? And then I was reminded about, or then I moved on over to Ephesians. And so for those of you who don't know, I've been reading the Bible from beginning to end, and I could have been done, but when I get to certain points, it's just like, it's too good to just keep going, you know? So I sit in them for like weeks, sometimes months, for certain words, and the Lord begins to speak to me. And so I get from Acts 28, and I'm in Ephesians now, and I'm reading Ephesians 2. And so I'm thinking about all of the stuff that I just talked to you all about. And Ephesians 2, I get to verse 8, and it's talking about, for it is by God's grace that we have been saved, right? Through faith. And it says, this is not from yourselves, but this is a gift from God, right? It's not by works that you can be saved. It's not by works that you can boast, because we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God has predestined, ordained, appointed, prepared for us in advance to do. Okay. And so I'm looking at this scripture and I'm just like, man, it almost brings you to repentance if you really think about what this scripture is saying based on what I just talked about in Acts 28. And I literally just began to thank God for his grace. I thank God for his grace, because through his grace, I have obtained salvation. I have been saved through faith, right? Through my belief, through my confession, I have now been saved, but it's only by the grace of God. And so I'm like, man, how often, and I say it almost brings you to repentance. For some, it will definitely bring you to repentance, because so often we begin to take for granted or become familiar with the grace of God. We begin to become familiar with being saved, in a sense, you know what I'm saying? And when we get familiar with things, we compromise on standards, we compromise on boundaries, we compromise on values, we compromise on beliefs when we become familiar. And so I was thinking about this scripture and I was like, man, thank you, Lord, for the grace to save. Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me, for seeing me fit, for predestining me, because there's so many people in this world who do not have eyes to see or ears to hear, and their hearts have become callous to the things of God. Their hearts have become distant and shut off to the things that are holy, things that are pure, things that are lovely. And they choose all of these other gods. They choose all of these other things for self. And so in this scriptures in Ephesians 2 verses 9, it literally says, no, in verse 8, it literally says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves." So anything that is coming from a self place is going against God's word, right? And so when people are saying, "Oh yeah, I can heal you," right? No, you can't heal me unless you're doing some kind of witchcraft type of things or pulling on something from something that I ain't even finna open myself up to. It's not gonna happen. You understand? And so I was just thinking about that and I'm just like, man, thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes and my ears to hear and to understand and to fall in love with the word of God, because there's so many people who won't. It says they will be ever hearing but never understand. They will be ever seeing but never perceive. And it's so disheartening, and it takes you to a place of intercession. And so I'm always reminding people when I talk to them that, you know, if the enemy is trying to muzzle you in prayer, if the enemy is trying to make you believe the lie that you're not called to intercede, that you're not called to be a prayer warrior, that you're not called to be an intercessor, it's literally deception. Because the more that God's people are not on their watch, the more that God's people are not in a place of prayer and intercession for their families, for their coworkers, for, you know, the world, the nation, he can keep people in bondage, right? He can keep people in bondage because there's no one standing on guard. There's nobody standing there watch who can sound the alarm when the school systems are opening up doors to children and the children don't know. And the parents don't know because they don't have to tell the parents what's happening behind school's closed doors by law. You know what I'm saying? So if there's no one sounding the alarm, if there's no one standing there watch, if there's no one interceding, how will the Lord heal the land? Right? Because if you continue to go back to Acts 28, in verse 27, it says, "For their hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn." That means to repent. If they did hear if they did see, if they did understand, they would then return. They will turn away from their wicked ways. They will repent, right? A repentant heart is a heart that has turned from what it was once doing, right? So then they will repent and I will heal them. We also find that in the scripture when it's talking about when the people cry out. And let me pull up the reference. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Okay. So a lot of this stuff, when you hear people talk about self and when people talk about I, sorry, my son just walked in. When you hear people talk about self and about I, it's a form of pride, right? And so it's interesting that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it doesn't just say if my people who are called by my name will pray. It says first you have to get out of that place of pride, out of that place of self. It says when they humble themselves and pray. So not only is there a humility, a submission, laying down self, right? You have to do those things. You have to humble yourselves, but then you also have to pray. You pray and you seek the face of God. And again, turn from their wicked ways. Then it says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and heal their land. And so there's an important aspect of humility, of prayer, of seeking the face of God, of repentance, in order for God to even hear the prayers of the people, in order for God to release forgiveness of sin, in order for God to heal the land. And so that echoes what it's saying in Acts 28:7, that if people knew, if they understood in their hearts, saw with their eyes, heard with their ears, then they will turn in repentance, right? And it says, when you turn, when you repent, healing comes forth. Healing is a direct fruit of repentance, right? So that's why I share my story a lot, how from abortion, my first thing in my RFCC method is repentance, right? Because there's repentance that has to happen. There has to be a turning away. There has to be a heart posture of, I'm not going back to this. I'm never going to do this again. Even if you fall, I'm never doing this again, okay? You turn, and then as you turn, now you can make your petitions to God. Lord, I repent. Please forgive me. So I repent. Then I ask for forgiveness because now he hears from heaven. Now he will hear from heaven, right? He hears my prayers now because I've repented. And now he forgives. So, and listen, I didn't even have none of this when I created that whole framework. But the RFCC method was literally my life. It's my testimony. It's the steps that I took to be forgiven and to receive healing, restoration, and wholeness after abortion. And so it says, then he will hear from heaven after you have repented and he will forgive you of your sin. And so the second step of the RFCC method is forgiveness. And I talk about forgiving yourself and receiving forgiveness from God. And it says, then he will heal their land. And so you will then receive the healing from of your heart, the healing of like mindset wounds, all of these different things. You will now experience healing. And so I think it's so important because repentance then comes healing. And so I just wanted to encourage you all with that word of encouragement. I hope it blessed you all. I know this has been not really quick, but, you know, we're coming up on 20 minutes. But I hope this has been encouraging to you to, you know, don't compromise, not even compromise, don't compromise, but the encouraging word that I have is don't become familiar with your salvation. Don't become comfortable with the grace to be saved, right? There's a lot of people in the world, probably right there around you in your circle, in your friend groups, in your co-working space, in your job place,
in the world, in the school system. It's so many people all over social media. I'm pretty sure you have half of your followers probably not saved, you know? And so I want to encourage you to don't get comfortable that God saved you. Don't just be okay with you thinking you getting into heaven, because it says in Ephesians that you're his handiwork and he prepared you to do good works, right? And one of those works that he has prepared his handiwork to do is to go ye therefore. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel, make disciples. And so we have a obligation as sons and daughters to do the will of the Father. And so I want to encourage y'all to not get comfortable. Don't get familiar with the grace that you've received to be saved. And I really want to encourage you all to go out in boldness to preach the gospel, whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like for your assignment, and share the word of God. Don't be afraid. Don't shy away. Don't shrink back. Don't be uncomfortable with addressing sin, because we need it. It's getting weird. It's getting weird out here. That's what I'm gonna say. It's getting real ratchet and ungodly. It's been ungodly, but it's getting real bad. And so I want y'all to rise up. You know, it's the time to arise and shine. And so I definitely want you all to, you know, pray and ask God for wisdom. How do I address this in my sphere of influence? How do I address this as an entrepreneur? Because this is not just for those who are in ministry. It didn't say, go ye therefore if you are full-time ministry. So even if you're an entrepreneur, ask God for wisdom and strategies. For me, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for my clients. I'm praying for their businesses. Listen, I be behind the doors closing down clients. I was working with, so I do subcontractor work. And because I do subcontractor work, I'm going to say this and I'm going to go. Because I do subcontractor work, I'm able to work with service providers who provide services to all of these clients. And I get to work on their accounts. But I'm also a prayer warrior, intercessor, by the grace of God, because I didn't choose this life. I actually was one of the ones who ran, which is why I can boldly say, don't be that person, okay? And so I get to pray for my clients and their businesses. And a lot of times, I be telling my husband, I'm like, ooh, I feel like these folks stay losing customers because of me, because what I'm doing is, but they also grow customers, okay? Let me get that straight. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that you will be aligned and that you will be a light. A line and a light, okay? And so what that means is, if I'm working on your account, and I know the people I work with, they save, okay? And so if I'm working on your account and I see that you have me on the account with somebody and they trying to do some yoga graphics, they trying to do, you know, stuff that ain't aligning with, you know, my daddy, okay? I'm gonna tell you, yeah, I can't work on that account because no, okay? And I've had to do that. Believe it or not, I've had to do that several times with people who I subcontract for. Like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm here to support you, but I'm not gonna support this. I'm not gonna create no graphics about no yoga so they can go blast it on social media, because I'm not gonna have no parts in promoting it. I'm not gonna be on nobody's call where they doing all this mindfulness type stuff. I'm not doing it. And so for me, I'm gonna pray like, And if you ask me for my advice, I'm gonna say, in the contract, what do you mean? I don't care what's the stipulations. Because when you do things for God, when you choose to be uncompromised, it doesn't matter what client closed down. It doesn't matter how much you lose from a contract. It doesn't matter if they try to take you to court. The God who backs me is going to avenge me. He's going to make every crooked path straight, and he's going to replace the income. Do you understand? He's going to replace that income because he's for what, you know what I'm saying? He's for me. He ain't against me. I'm on his side. I'm promoting his work. I'm not going to promote the kingdom of the devil in no way, shape, or form. And so With my clients, I've seen so many clients. I had one of my, not clients, but my people who I do subcontractor work. One of them, she actually closed on a contract because she was like, yeah, you right. I feel uncomfortable on the calls. I don't want to do those calls either. And so they begin to close down the contracts where they're having to promote worldly things for the sake of a check. And so I've seen clients who shut down their clients for that reason. But then I've also seen God answer my prayers and blessing their business and replacing that person. You know what I'm saying? In less than 30 days, okay? And so this is what I mean. I want you all to see, how can you, even in your sphere of influence, how can you go and advance the kingdom and preach the gospel and combat sin, come against sin, okay? So that's your challenge for today. Don't compromise and don't get comfortable. I keep saying compromise. I want to say comfortable. Don't get comfortable and familiar with lukewarmness. Don't get comfortable and familiar with just you being saved, but everybody in your household going to hell. Don't get comfortable and familiar staying your watch, okay? And ask God for the wisdom and the strategy on what that looks like in your sphere of influence, what that looks like in your household or your family, what that looks like on your 9-to-5, because some people want to use the excuse like, hey, well, I'm a teacher and they don't allow business school and they don't allow business school. Guess what? I was a teacher for 5 years and all of my students who came in my class, they knew I was saved. They will ask like, what, Miss James, how come, or Miss Worlds for my first students, Miss Worlds, Miss James, how come you don't cuss? All adults cuss. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean all adults? Like, minus me, okay? And so they knew because I wasn't back. First of all, they were very curious. They were asking questions, and I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't talk about that with you at school. Absolutely not. You ask the question, I'm busting down the door to answer you, okay? And so my students knew I was saved. Matter of fact, I would come to school and my Bible would be on my desk. I would open my Bible up during breaks and lunches and all that stuff. And listen, I don't care. And I'm going to pray for my students. And I'm going to let them follow me on social media because they need to be following role models who can lead them in the right way, who can show them a different way, who can show them that not all adults curse, not all adults smoke weed, not all adults are clubbing and partying, not all adults got their butts and their breasts out. They need to be able to see that there's another way that you can do this and be successful. You can do this and still be a cool adult. You can do this. You can do this holy walk. This life of walking by faith, you can live for Jesus and still be cool. Because that's what they care about. Well, this person boring, this person lame. I still have great relationships with my students. They still follow me. And it's been over 10 years. I've seen my students, you know, have babies and graduate from college, go to the military, all of these things. And they're still following me. They're still loving my comments. They're still in my DMs to this day. I've taken so many kids to church. Listen, I will drive an hour out my way to go pick up my students for church. Because that was the only exposure to church that they seen. And we was back in the day, we was in church for hours on top of hours. So they will rock it with me for hours on top of hours. We'll go get food and then I'll take them back home and see them on Monday for school. This is what I'm saying. I don't, listen, all of the rules and the laws that they say, you can't do this, you can't do this. You got to get to a point where that don't apply to you. And know that the Lord is going to back you up. He's not going to let you get fired from your job. And even if you do, it's because he has a greater purpose, okay? And so I just want to say that to you all. Hope this is encouraging to you all. I love you all. Go out. Go do the works that he has prepared for you because you are God's handiwork. Amen. All right. Bye, y'all.